Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worship was great. I wish you were here to hear it. Hear what the Lord is doing. Praise the Lord. Because some people will hear this message somewhere. And we want them to know that the presence of God. That's right. Yeah.
So it's when we do, we have to make it an action.
Amen.
Then he says, I will bless you, be gracious to you, and I will pour out to you.
Amen.
And just hold out your hand.
Amen. Amen.
Action
Amen. I want my cup full. Amen. I'm gonna get a big basket and bring it over here, so when he wants to do that, I got a basket. Hallelujah, that's right. We'll do it. I will do it. We'll get it. I'll go buy me a brand new 40-gallon trash can. Put it up there for the Lord to fill it up. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I pray that you were encouraged. Because that's what the Lord wants to do, is encourage us. And last night, He very, very clearly just said, you know, to tell you about your light. Tell you about your light. About how important your light is. Your light is shining somewhere all the time. And your light is important. Every light is important. We by faith, by grace, we've been saved, but we need to know, we need to embrace how our light works. Our light. And we need to make sure that we don't back away from shining our light because we think that our light isn't as bright as some other light. We need to be bold and strong about our faith is important. My place is important. We need to get a hold of that, and we need to repent of being less than God has made us to be, because we couldn't see that His light on us is important as any other light. In fact, Lord, right now I repent for every time that I haven't shined with everything when there was somebody looking for it. That I put it on pause, or I let my batteries get down. Because every day, all day long, your light makes a difference. It warms up a spot. It encourages someone. People are looking for encouragement, even in our little bitty town. We got people that are in need. And they don't show it necessarily. I talked to a lady on Saturday, and she said, well, out in public, I try to keep up a good front. I don't let them see what's going on inside of me. And I said, well, I could see inside of you. We had a wonderful talk and a moment of prayer to release the things, you know? Got that one right, you know? But there's always opportunities. Yesterday morning I was praying, and I asked the Lord, I said, you know, I had nursing home in the afternoon. I said, Lord, I want something fresh for those people. I want something special for them. Now, don't get me wrong, I always try to go with something special, but it was like I just felt I should pray about that. I want something all the time. When I went to Sioux Falls to on Wednesday to the penitentiary, I wanted something fresh, and God gave them what they needed and gave the helpers what they needed. I think it gave one of the helpers so much that they were mad at me, and I'm not exactly sure which part made them mad, but you know, and that's okay, because the Lord speaks to our hearts. And on Friday I got to go to jail by accident. Not accident on my part, but accident on my part. She had emailed me at 8:30 and said, "We can't have chapel today because I've got court from 1 to 3. And I didn't check my email. And as I was leaving town, I was thinking, no, I didn't even check to see if we were clear to go today. Oh, well, I'm going. And I got there, and she said, "You apparently didn't get my email." I said, "Well, I didn't check my email. I'm sure it's in my box." She said, "Well, I emailed you that we couldn't have chapel today. But it's a good thing you're here, because everything changed, and now you can have chapel." I said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." You know? So I told the folks that I had chapel with today, I said, "Well, we're having this by accident. Accident on our part, but absolutely designed by God." More and more the people are so open and so hungry and so wanting and so receiving. You know, and God is touching them at their point of need, and I think convincing them that he sees their need and he cares about it. And he sees your need, and he cares about them. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud. You pray, shining like the sun at the trumpet sound. You know, Vicki said she could hear the trumpets. Listen, listen, you might just hear a trumpet, God announcing your presence to some certain place. So your light, Jesus said very clearly, no complexities to it, you're the light of the world. We shouldn't just bypass that. We should be encouraged by that. We shouldn't allow the enemy to say, "Probably not me." You know? Sometimes there might be a little something that takes the glare off your light, but you're light. You know, you are light. This morning, I went out to check the rain gauge because it's too tall. Vicki can't lift it out. She's not supposed to do that. I want to tell you, report to you that she's doing pretty good about that. Because we went to her appointment last week, and she thought that Thursday. She thought that last Thursday would be the end of her restrictions. When I helped her dress this on Thursday, she said, "Well, this will be the last time you have to do this." Oh, you know. I mean, I've got a little bit of a routine. And she'll tell you, I get just a little disturbed when she doesn't stick with the routine. But you see, the doctor kind of confirmed what I had been trying to tell her. We got to follow these restrictions. and when the doctor said the things that I had said, boy, he made a lot of sense. And so now we're even moving ahead with a little bit more of a, you know, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Now, she did pretty good before, but she's doing pretty good now. And so This morning I thought that I would get the rain gauge and I would get it measured because it fills one gauge and then it overflows into the bottom of it. And so you take it and you dump the first inch out and then you dump in the rest of the water to get the total rainfall. And so that's what I did. And I had the total rainfall for last night of 2.57 inches right away. And yestoday it was 1.13 inches. We had it all written down. And so when she got up, she said, "How much rain did we get?" I told her how much rain we got. She said, "Did you dump it already?" I said, "Well, that's the only way I could find out what was in the big thing." "Well, I told you I wanted to take a picture of it." I don't remember telling me she wanted to take a picture of it. I thought she took it yesterday. And so, you know, there we were with a tiny bit of strife in our house over measuring the rain. And I meant well, but I wasn't right, I guess. You know, I wasn't. So I went and I got the rain gauge and I filled it up just like I found it. And I put it, "You aren't supposed to do that." I said, "What? This will be the same picture. Nobody's going to know if the water came out of the tap or the," you know, but I didn't even say all that. I just left it sit there and I went off. I'm trying, Lord, I'm trying to make my light shine. But probably she might say, "You never hear me." That's not true. I do. I just didn't catch that part. But by faith and the grace of God, I decided I'm going to go ahead and have church today. And I'm going to go ahead and do the devotional because he'd already told me about the light. So forgive me, I'll try to be a better light. But your light is important. You're important. You're important. You're important. You're important. It's not to make you arrogant. It's to make you know you're important. It's to build you up and have you going, "Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I got to be ready. You know, I got to be ready. I got to be ready." I mean, you don't have to let that control your life. It will control your life if you just want to be ready. Yesterday when I went to the nursing home, I mean, I mess with their equipment all the time, and they switched things, and they don't have a good stand anymore, and they don't have this and that and the other thing. And so I said, why should I spend the first 5 minutes trying to get things working? And on the verge of not a great attitude, I'm just going to take stuff. I took my stand. I took a longer mic cord because they had one about this long, so I would have to try to get myself up to a stand without knocking it over and without... Anyway, I took my own cord, so I had plenty of cord. I took everything. I plugged in my stuff, and that thing sounded good. That's got to be God. And on the way out there, the Lord gave me a scripture for them, and we just had a great time. We sang and we praised and we shouted. I had them going, "Woo-hoo!" That's good for them. It's good for us. It's good for us. You know, we did a little shouting to the Lord today. We gave him a little glory today. We let him know he got to us, you know. Don't be controlling yourself. Let him get to you. I mean, we let a lot of stuff get to us that shouldn't get to us. You know? I guess I got to Vicki this morning and she got to me this morning, but we got over it. Didn't we, honey? Did we? Is it okay? Okay, so that if I publicly apologize to you.
I publicly forgive you.
Boy, isn't she nice. I'm slain in the spirit. Yes, you are. You're wonderful. Hallelujah. Okay. But as I was thinking about this, I thought about Jesus. Isn't it a good thing to think about Jesus? And I started wondering about what he knew about who he was. You know? Did he have memories of being there with the Father? Did he have memories of the agreement that he was coming down to do? I don't think so. I think he was all man. And what he had to go on were the little snippets that his parents could share with him when he was old enough, you know. He didn't know anything about all the children that the king had murdered trying to get to him. You don't know that when you're born. You don't know that when you're one. You don't know that when you're two. He might have found out when he was in the temple asking questions. That might have come up and caused him to think. But he didn't know. He only knew what they could tell him. Does this spark anything in your heart at all? I'm talking about you. We get saved, and what do we know about who we are in Christ? Only snippets of what we're told. We need to be like Jesus, who went to the temple and asked questions. We need to, as Vicki said, we need to talk to God. We need to let the Word of God talk to us. We need to let Jesus say to us, not just in a book in red, we need to let him say to us, you are the light of the world. And then we need to take that up with him and say, Lord, am I the light of the world? He'll say, that's what I said. You are the light of the world. And then he might say something about, just hold on to that, we'll work that out. You know? But I don't think he knew. He couldn't have known it all. He was in the garden going, you know, he didn't say, I take back what I said. He just said, we've come this far, I've seen a lot of stuff. I've seen you do stuff. I've experienced that, and now here we are at this. I've seen enough people hanging on crosses. I've seen people dead. I've seen people that have been abused and things like that. And near as I can figure it, I'm next. But he didn't say, after all, I am Son of God. I don't have to go through this. But he came out of that garden with the assurance. If God could have a virgin have a baby, and if that baby could grow up, and if all the miracles that he did, all the things that they saw him do, if he could do all of that, then, and he only did that because he did what the Father said that he should do, no matter how outlandish of a thing God might say, I mean, Jesus obviously got the idea to feed 5,000 from the Father. Now, when he got to the place, did he know exactly how God was going to feed the 5,000? He just knew they were going to feed him. Now, maybe he, you know, he'd probably thought about this, kind of like what I say. I think about what did Jesus know. He might think, okay, we're going to feed all these people. So I'm just going to ask my disciples. And they don't get it either. But as long as we're at this and we got these 5 loaves and these fish, Father, I thank you. And maybe he was just as tickled about how it went down as the disciples were. I mean, I don't know. But we have to get over thinking that Jesus had some sort of a special deal, and so it's easy for him to tell us what we should do, but we aren't him. But he says, I'm with you always. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And he just threw out there that one that nobody likes, or some people like, but have a hard time comprehending, a real hard time chewing, and it's nearly impossible to swallow. Oh, these things? You're going to do greater things than this because I go to the Father. Was that just some story to make them feel better, or did he mean it? You're going to do greater things than this. You know, Todd White, we've talked about Todd White before. He goes out and his ministry, he just talks to people on the street. People get healed. People get delivered. People get raised from the dead. Seriously. You know, if you walk down the street and enough people get healed, somebody's liable to say, can you come over to my house? I got a dead one. Or, you know, somebody's going to say, can you come to my house? We got one with demons chained up in the corner. Maybe you could pray for him. Jesus said, greater things than this, you're going to do. What if we say, yeah, rather than, nah, I'm not sure about that. We want greater things, don't we? We want things. We want things for us. Bob and I prayed for their roof to be fixed this morning. We weren't kidding, God. Fix it. I don't care. Just put a big umbrella there so no rain can fall out of it. You know, I don't care how he does it. I don't have to figure out how he does it. See, that's part of the problem is we think we got to figure out how he's going to do it. We try to figure out why would he do something that I pray? Why, you know, we got to get rid of the whys and be wise. You know, just why not? And it isn't like we have to get up in the morning and write a list of the things we're going to do because we don't know what we're going to do. We know most of what we're going to do. Or maybe we don't know at all what we're going to do. It's a little tough on me when some people say, what are you going to do today? Well, I have some thoughts, but I don't necessarily know exactly what I'll do every day. I know on Sunday, today, when church is over, I know that I will be all hopped up and headed for jail. Talking to the Lord about, praise God, Vicky, her trumpets, Lord, can I hear those now? You know, blow me out of the car, you know, whatever, you know. And so by the time I get there, then I'm ready. I know that I will do chapels. I tell you, this is a miracle. I remember that today now is the girl. Sometimes I go in and they say, who do you have today? And I say, oh. Because sometimes they change up the schedule. Sometimes things change up, and if they change up the schedule, I might not remember which people I had which day. Am I, you know? I'm just here. You guys figure it out. And then they'll bring in the wrong one. I'll say, oh, no, I had them last. Well, we're just going to keep going this way. Well, that's okay. I can handle that, whatever the case might be. But usually somewhere between the time that I do that first spot and they bring the next one, now they're back on the right track. It just makes the day longer, but praise the Lord, we're on the right track. That's going to happen in your life when we are, our lives, when we're just kind of committed to God first. There's going to be interruptions and disruptions, but they're going to be divine. Because God likes to watch you be divine. You're his child. We wait for Marco Polo's to see what the kids are up to. You know? And we look at him, and sometimes Vicky's looking at him, and I hear the voice, and then I got to look at him, and then I know what she's looking at. How, can you imagine that? She'll sit over there and just look at those all by herself. So she knows first. I don't know why. She just loves it. We love it. You know? We like it. Because they're our children, and so God watches you, and he goes, oh. You know? When you're shouting unto God, oh, he's loving it. You know, he's loving it. I gave him a voice. I want to hear it. I don't know what he told me. I'm just saying that I imagine. But we don't know, but we can follow Jesus. And Jesus spent a lot of time talking to his Father. And I will just say that because I've always said, if he had a special deal, then this isn't real. You know? He didn't have total recall of when he was in heaven. I don't think that until he sat down at the right hand of the Father, he had a total memory of sitting at the Father's right hand. I think that when he came out of the grave and then Mary came to him and she's grabbing a hold of him, he says, don't hold me down. I haven't been to the Father yet. That's just me, okay? But I think that he walked on water and he was probably a tiny bit tickled about it too. I think that he raised the dead and he shook his head. Father, you never cease to amaze me. I think so. Behold, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Well, flesh and blood didn't tell you that, Peter. It was the Holy Spirit. Maybe that even gave him a clear... What I'm saying is that he was the Son of God who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, who shed his glory and came to earth to be the story that leads us into all truth. And he did that so that we could behold him and so that we could be inspired and so that we could be encouraged and so that we could be a little challenged once in a while to be and to experience everything that God has for us to be and experience. You are the light of the world. You just are. It's not up to you to decide, well, I'm not a real good light right now. No, no, I'm the light of the world. We're the light of the world. Yesterday, I not only took all my own equipment, but I got dressed up to go to the nursing home. This is my nursing home outfit, so I thought I should at least wear it for y'all too. No, I mean, you know, it was just like I wanted to go there with a little preacher look, you know, so they would know they were with the preacher. But they know. They know me. They like me. And I like them. I like them, you know. Yesterday I had a backup group. Well, I had one that came. Nancy was there. She just couldn't keep herself down. She had to come up, and she's standing there singing. And afterwards she said, Roger, you're not mad that I came up to sing with you, are you? I said, absolutely not. You were full of the Holy Ghost and power. You couldn't keep yourself sitting in your chair. I live on that. I like that. I like that because they experienced the presence of God. Do you know how many people have never bothered to experience the presence of God? And if you talk about the presence of God, they might look at you like you're from another planet, but talk about it anyway. Tell somebody, I couldn't help myself. I just had to shout the presence of God was so strong on me. Tell somebody. Because they might say, really? Seriously? Yeah. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, be full of the Holy Ghost. I was there. Get confidence to be what he says you'll be. He came. He was the express image of God bodily. He was exactly what God wanted to show people. Don't you think that God has come to a place where he's a little tired of all people think he wants to do is judge him and he's mad at him? Right? And so he sent Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He just did good everywhere. You know? He just told the truth. He wasn't afraid of the religious leaders. He just told the truth. He just gave them an opportunity to open their eyes and to see the truth. So that he could say, with absolute confidence, you're going to do greater things than I do. And our response shouldn't be, oh no, that can't be. Our response needs to be, show me, Lord. Show me. If you share the good news of Jesus with somebody on this earth right now, you know you've done something Jesus never did. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. Because you're being Jesus when you do that. Because that's what Jesus did. He came and he just showed himself to people. He came and he told people. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Do you think he'd have gone back and begged them if they didn't follow him? You think he'd have, oh, come on, please, please, I'm on a time schedule here. I need somebody. Somebody's got to come with me. My father said people would come with me. You know? No. He just kept calling until somebody came. You know? How'd you get here? He called you. It's always funny at jail when I tell the people, I said, you know, you're not here by accident. God drew you out here. And I said, no, seriously, you would not have come if God didn't draw you. Isn't that why you came? What was kind of revelation and a little weird to him is like, yeah, I guess that's true. What am I doing here? I pray that we have what am I doing here moments after today. I pray that we start seeing the light touching. I pray that we will have boldness to go like you go to somebody with a flashlight to check their pupils. You know, that we would just go, that we would be obedient to God. You see, people don't have to respond. People don't have to even receive. But if you're obedient, God can do something for them that they don't know about. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with me. Tell yourself, God's with me. God is with me. And he's for me. You know? And he doesn't like say, okay, you did pretty good when you got up this morning, Roger. I'll give you the day with me. No. If I don't do pretty good when I get up in the morning, he wants my whole day. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right, but we're going to work on this, boy. You know? Jesus went to the temple and he heard things, I think, that maybe were about him. But he also heard, because he learned the law. And he probably had been taught that when he comes, you can't be the one because you ain't coming right. And so I think that he had those little red flags come up when they would say things. And then when that little red flag came up, he'd say, excuse me. You know, I'm just wondering about this. I remember that feeling in a Bible study when they would say stuff and I'd go, whoa, and sometimes I'd raise my hand and I had a lot to say and the Lord would say, just keep listening. Just keep learning. Just keep learning. You know, like for me, it could have been like, what do you mean I'm learning? I'm really learning? I knew I was learning. Yeah. And Jesus kept learning. And when his folks told him little snippets of what they knew, you know, like maybe just before they went to the temple, Jesus told them, you know, or his parents told him, you know, when you were born, we put off telling you this because we don't totally understand it either, but angels appeared to shepherds in the field. And they said that the Christ child was born in a manger and it was you. Now, when they told him that, he probably hadn't been to the place where they talked about what happened to him as an adult. You understand? But it bore witness with his spirit. You know? It's starting to make sense. Don't you have those times when you're reading the word or maybe you're hearing the word and something just goes, oh, now that makes sense. I'm beginning to see now. And probably there was a time in his early 20s moving up toward being 30, you know, there were probably times when he sometimes go, I'm ready, let's do this thing. You know? I'm ready to announce, but it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet. And during that time, then he started to hear the rest of the story so that he came to the place in the garden. He says, you know, we don't have to rush this. You know, maybe I could just work a little more and it'd all come out a little clearer. Maybe we could avoid this. Okay, I know. I'm just talking, okay? But we do that sometimes. Sometimes the Lord kind of gives us an assignment. We're going, well, when I get to it. I'm not sure that was the Lord. I better wait, you know. I better wait. If I see that person two more times this week, then I'll know it's from the Lord. Okay. Let's go for two more times. Then I'll know it's the Lord. And then we shut ourselves in the house so we don't have to see them two more times. And you know, but it might be that that's about the first person you see the next time you're out of the house. And it's time, you know. Just give the Lord an opportunity to do what only he can do. But desire in your heart. Just desire it. Desire to experience all the things that you'd sort of like to experience, but you convince yourself that you're not going to experience that. But be prepared for it. Be prepared for it. When I left Mobridge the day that they invited me not to be in the Assemblies of God, and I'm walking down the hallway, and the Lord says, you just got out of the boat. And he tells me to take a different route home. And I take the different route home. And there's somebody laying on the ground. And an ambulance is there. And they're ministering to the, well, they're working on the person. And I pull over and stop. Walk down in there and say, can I pray for him? Pray for him. And get back in my car and drive off. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense that they even let me come down there to pray for him. But it was that opportunity. And last week when I was headed for Sioux Falls, I was going east on 34, and I came up over a hill, and I saw some truck had lost its tread. You know, they got those treads laying next to the road. The tires come off, and the treads are out there. At least that's what I thought, until I was almost past it, and it was a young girl laying there, sleeping. I didn't stop. Because I was past her. But she wasn't all bloody or wrecked, and I figured probably that's a good area of the country where she's just still taking a nap. And I wasn't 2 miles down the road, and all of a sudden there's a jam up of traffic, and there's a combine coming, and so when the combine's on the road, there's a bunch of people behind him and a line of trucks behind him, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, I hope that combine sees that girl. You know, I thought, I should have gone back. Well, I'm a little late now. I guess I could have raced ahead of him. You know, pulled the Dukes of Hazzard, stopped the whole crowd and said, just wait, there's a girl up there. So when I left Sioux Falls to come home, guess what I was doing? When I got to that area, lights on bright, watching the shoulder, praying, oh Lord, don't let there be a bloody mess. You know? She wasn't there. So praise God for that. But once I was past her, it didn't occur to me to stop. Now, Vicki said, well, in this day and age, you know, she could have been laying by the road and there are people down in the ditch. Well, I'm not going to live like there's always people down in the ditch. I doubt that I'll ever drive past somebody laying on the side of the road again, even though they look peaceful and they're taking a nap, looks like. Haven't heard anything about a body. God never said turn around and go back, but he probably shouldn't have to, you know. But if he was worried about it, he certainly could have said it, and I'd have done what he said. We've all missed opportunities. But sometimes we missed them because we didn't figure that they were really our opportunity. Because we didn't think that we were that light. But you are that light. You are blessed of the Lord. You are more important to him than you know. You know, take the time to ask him how he feels about you. Don't just assume. We do because we know the Bible, right? God loves you. Oh yeah, I know God loves me. And ought to thrill you just a little bit. You understand? We can just become complacent about it. I know. Yeah, I know. I don't think Jesus was complacent about who he was or anything that went on. He gave thanks to the Father. I give thanks to God for all of you. I give thanks for what God is going to do in your lives and through your lives. I give thanks that the frequency has been turned up and cleared up. The Bible says, and be thankful. And be thankful. Just remember, the Bible tells us to walk humbly with our God. It's not just about the humble. It's about with God. Walk with God. Walk with him. And enjoy it. Amen? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we're thankful that we are the light of the world. And forgive us for ever thinking that we're not a good enough light. We're all the light that you put in us. We're just going to keep the batteries charged. God, thank you for blessing us. We pray that we've blessed you. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, man.